Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program today. We hope that everything's getting off to a good start for you this morning, that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping God on this first day of the week. Christians all over the world are coming together in various places to honor the God of heaven and remember His Son. We'll be doing that this morning at Eastside as we gather for worship and to study His Word. We meet at 9 o'clock at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're anywhere in the Athens area, come out and be with us. If you're not able to get out in person this morning, check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, or look at our website, eastside-church.com. Eastside-church.com. Click on the resources tab and stream our services. But come out and be with us in person if you possibly can this morning. We'd love to get to meet you, have opportunity to worship God together and share our faith. Well, here this morning on the program, we'll be thinking about what we can learn from experience. All of us learn a lot of things from experience. Sometimes we learn things that are helpful for us. Sometimes we learn things that hurt us. Once in a while, we get pain from experience. Sometimes, though, learning from experience is pleasant. But it certainly can be painful at times. Experience can be a cruel teacher, because it usually doesn't give you a lesson until just after you need it. Isn't that the truth? If you would have known what you learned from experience, you oftentimes wouldn't have done the thing that you did. You would have been a lot better off. But we do learn from experience, and negative experiences sometimes are the best teachers of all because we learn our lessons well. But the thing is, if we don't learn our lesson, experience will repeat the lesson. If we flunk it the first time, if we flunk it the second time, if we don't learn the lesson, we'll just keep on having that same bad, painful experience. Unfortunately, the only thing some folks learn from experience is to be able to recognize the same mistake that they made when they're making it before, when they're making it again. So what about you this morning? Probably all of us can think about things that we have done that taught us important lessons. Sometimes those things were painful. Probably all of us can think about lessons that we should have learned by now that we just really haven't learned. And so we're having the same bad experiences over and over. So let's start talking this morning about the problem of failing to learn from experience. Repeating foolish behavior is not only painful to us and harmful to us often, but also just a disgusting sight. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, that as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. That's a pretty graphic description. You know, whatever the dog ate that made him sick the first time, you'd think he wouldn't want to eat it again. But often dogs return to that vomit. Again, a very disgusting sight. But human beings, often we are not much more intelligent the way we behave. When we do things that are not good for us, they bring us pain and hardship, and yet once we get past that and we feel a bit better, we'll often go right back to that same bad experience that we had before. We may repeat folly for a lot of reasons, I suppose. Why would anybody go back to something that caused them pain? What sense does that make? Well, maybe it's just a habit. Maybe we're just doing something repeatedly because we fall into the habit of doing that and we haven't worked to get out of that habit. But a lot of times, bad experiences are things that we choose to do, maybe to relieve stress, to escape from reality. We deny to ourselves that these things are bad for us. We tell ourselves these things are good for us. They're really not good for us. We rationalize them. There's a popular song out that talks about a person just sort of living a life that's not very pleasant. He says, "All of this drinking and smoking is hopeless, but feel like it's all that I need." So here's a person, you know, drinking and smoking, those things are not good for you. They've never solved anybody's problems, but he's going right back to it, just keeping on going on, even though he knows that's hopeless. He just feels like he needs it. It's not doing him any good. It's not helping him at all. So when we do the same things over and over again, and we expect a different outcome, we expect things to get better, that's kind of the definition of insanity. In fact, someone has said that insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Well, that's foolishness, according to what the wise man says in the book of Proverbs. When it comes to our spiritual lives, when we repeat sin after we have been forgiven for it, after we have maybe overcome it, after we've learned what Christ wants us to do, and yet we go back to sin, that is also depicted in the scriptures as being like a dog returning to his vomit. Peter talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to wallowing in the mire. Peter's saying in no uncertain terms that once we've escaped the pollutions of the world, once we've come out of sin and we've come to know Christ, we turn back then to a sinful life after that, it's worse than the situation was to begin with. Sin beat us up one time, messed up our lives, caused misery in our lives. We finally get extricated from it by turning to Jesus and in faith, having our sins forgiven by him through his blood. And then we go back into that sin that ruined our lives one time, and we allow it to ruin our lives again. That is like that dog returning to the vomit, and like a pig that's washed one time and gotten itself clean, and then it jumps back in the slop. One thing that a preacher friend of mine used to say years ago about the difference between pigs and sheep is that while pigs wallow in the mud, sheep do not wallow. Sheep are not known for wallowing, right? Sheep won't do that. And so we are disciples of Christ if we're Christians. We're to be followers of Jesus. We're not going to go wallowing in the mire. That's not what sheep do. We're going to be following the shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of the book of Hebrews describes the problem of Christians going back into the world of sin. And he, again, uses pretty vivid terminology when he says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, it no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. So if a Christian turns back to a life of sin, he's turned his back on the sacrifice that was made for his sin. He's turned his back on Jesus. The writer says, if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, the idea of sinning willfully means not only that we choose to do it, we knowingly choose to go back into the world of sin, but it also suggests that we habitually engage in sin again. The words here suggest a continuation in the sin that we had once left. So you have those two aspects of it. Somebody chooses to go back to this life of sin, and then he just continues in that life of sin. He's turned his back on the one sacrifice that was made for his sins. And so all he has to look forward to from that point on is judgment day and the fearful condemnation, as the Hebrew writer says, that will devour the adversaries. I don't think any of us really wants to go back into a position where all you have to look forward to at the end of this life is an eternity in hell. You know, Christians have been rescued from a horrible life of sin, from death, from doom. We must avoid returning to that at all cost, that we've been rescued from. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Peter says, we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. You know, that life of sin that we may have engaged in, that we did engage in before we became Christians, we've escaped that now if we are truly Christians. We've spent enough of our past lifetime living that way. We're not going to live that way anymore. We're not going to go back into that sort of depravity and disgusting behavior in our lives that so characterizes those who are lost in the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, again, the Apostle Paul describes that wonderful rescue that we've had by the grace of God from a life of sin. Because when we were living that life, we were in misery, we were dead spiritually, we didn't have any real hope as long as we continued to live that kind of life. Well, we may have rationalized things. We may have told ourselves everything was going to be okay, that maybe we're going to heaven anyway, or maybe there's no such thing as God in heaven. We may have had all sorts of excuses, but we were truly dead in our sins. That's what Paul says again in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says that Christ made us alive who were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were living in sin at one point, all of us headed in the wrong direction into an eternity of punishment for our sins, just punishment for our sins that comes from a God who is a just and righteous God. And yet God is also loving. And so because of the great love with which he loved us, he rescued us by his grace from that life of sin. To go back into it is folly indeed. Someone has said that experience is not so much what happens to a person, it's what a person does with what happens to him. We need to understand what sin has done to us and then how we're going to respond to it. What are we going to do about what sin has done to us? Are we going to go back into it, allow ourselves to be captured by it again, or are we going to appreciate our salvation? Are we going to learn the lessons that we need to learn from our past experiences, or are we going to fail to learn those lessons? The lesson we should learn from a life of sin is we don't want that anymore, and we're going to do whatever it takes to stay out of a life of sin. We can also, when we think about our experiences, we can fail to learn the right lesson from experience, but sometimes we learn a lesson from experience, but it's the wrong lesson. We think we get what it is that experience is trying to teach us, but sometimes we don't. So after a bad or painful experience, sometimes we conclude that maybe we should no longer try to do good because we think, well, doing good caused me to have a painful experience, and so maybe I won't do good anymore. Maybe I won't try to do anything anymore. I've been told that a cat that jumps on a hot stove once will never jump on a hot stove again. But he won't jump on a cold one either. He just won't jump, right? Sometimes we learn the lesson from experience that we're just not going to do anything. I got hurt one time. I had a bad experience, maybe trying to do good, or a bad experience that I don't think I deserved. And so I'm just not going to do anything. In the book of Hebrews, in the text we were in just a little bit ago, where the writer was talking about the problem of sinning willfully after we receive the knowledge of truth and turning back into a life of sin, he encourages the Hebrews to keep on living a righteous life. And he tells them, yes, they've had some bad experiences in living the righteous life that they're living. It sometimes causes persecution and other difficulties in a person's life to live a life for Jesus. The Hebrew Christians had experienced some of that. But they were reminded that despite of the difficult experiences they had endured in the past, that they still had motivation that they could latch on to, that would enable them to endure. It would have been easy for them to recall the pain, but forget the promised reward, forget what it is that they were striving for. That would have resulted in them learning the wrong lesson. Listen to what the writer says to them in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. He says, "Recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured great struggle and sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. You had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. You have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." What the Hebrew writer is telling them is, you just keep on keeping on. Remember that you have a goal. You have eternal life to look forward to. And just because you experience difficulties on the road to eternal life doesn't mean you should give up. Don't learn the wrong lesson from those experiences. Satan is trying to harm you. He will do that using all sorts of different means Don't blame God for that. Just recognize what Satan's trying to do to keep you from receiving this wonderful reward that God has promised. So what we need to learn sometimes from bad things happening in our lives is Satan's trying to get at us. It's an evil world that surrounds us, and evil is trying to overcome good, but good is going to overcome evil in the end, and we need to stick then on a good path. And when we do that, we can make beautiful things happen in our lives that can even come out of the difficulties that we experience in our lives. I read a story about in World War II, of course, the Nazi Germany was bombing Britain regularly. And in Dover, England, there was this beautiful garden that was just bombed into a pit. But the English, being who they are, decided to make it a garden again and just use the pit as a garden. They made it a sunken garden. It's very beautiful. So they took something that was painful, that was bad, that happened to them, and made something beautiful out of it. In the year 1914, Thomas Edison's laboratory burned to the ground. A lifetime of work, inventions, and all sorts of things went up in smoke in the burning of that laboratory. A lot of people worked there. It was a huge disaster. But Edison said that there is great value in disaster. All of our mistakes got burned up. He said, we can start all over again, and we can even do more and better. And he did. Within just a few days, the workers cleared the debris from the burned-down laboratory. Within just a few weeks, they were working again on projects under Edison's guidance. And he never fired a single employee going through this. They came out much better in the end than they were before. Well, that's kind of the life of a Christian. Once we start living for Jesus, we've escaped the horrors of sin and the problems that sin creates in a human life. We've gained a hope of eternity. We need to hang on to that. Sure, there are going to be some difficulties that lie ahead, but we can't let those get the best of us. Just keep on working toward that beautiful end that God has promised us. So don't learn the wrong lesson from difficult experiences. Sometimes a person will have bad experiences because they've done evil. So this is kind of the other side of the coin. You have bad experiences sometimes when you do good, but sometimes you have bad experiences when you do evil. In fact, that's more often than not the case. But lots of times people in the world don't realize where their problems are coming from, what's generating the bad times that they're having. Sometimes they conclude that maybe they're just not doing enough evil, you know, so they dedicate themselves to it even more, hoping that something good's going to come from it. Again, that's folly indeed. Back in the Old Testament, after Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC, the Jews who remained in the land were told by God to stay in the land. But instead of that, they chose to flee to Egypt and to continue their idolatrous ways. It was their idolatry that had caused them to be condemned by the Lord to begin with. It was their idolatry and the fact that they turned away from God's laws and God's ways that caused them to be condemned, and was the very reason that God had sent the Babylonians to destroy them. But the people, instead of remaining in the land after that, as God told them to do, again, they decide that they're going to go down to Egypt and continue their idolatry. It says in Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 15, that all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you've spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. We will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, to pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food. We were well off, and we saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. You see how these people are getting exactly the wrong lesson out of their experience? They were thinking that the trouble that had come upon them was because they stopped doing evil. That wasn't it. the trouble that came upon them was because they were doing evil to begin with. But they didn't see that. And so what they're saying is, we're just going to keep doing evil because we think we were better off when we were doing evil. Boy, there are so many people in this world that that's how they think. The evil that they're doing is, the consequences of it, just ruining their lives. And so they decide to do more of it. You see how nonsensical that is? But that's exactly what these people were learning from their experience. So let's not learn the wrong lesson from our experiences. Let's learn from our own experiences, but also maybe something better than that would be to learn from the experiences of others so that we don't have to experience hard things to learn the lesson that we need to learn. I remember a Peanuts cartoon years ago I saw in the newspaper, back when there were lots of newspapers. But it's, you know, Charlie Brown and Lucy and her brother Linus. And Lucy's sitting there making a list on a sheet of paper. And Linus asks her what she's doing. She says, well, I'm making a list. Then she says, well, I'm actually making two lists. One is a list of the things I've learned. And the other is a list of the things I've learned the hard way. And you see the drawing, the last drawing Charles Schulz made in that cartoon strip was her with this really, really long list stretched all the way from her hand all the way to the ground. And it was the list of the things that she learned the hard way. Isn't that the truth? We have a long list of things that we've learned the hard way. But we don't have to learn everything the hard way. We can learn from others. We don't have to make all the mistakes ourselves. We can see what happens when others make that mistake. We don't have to do it ourselves. Young people especially, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to experience everything to know that some things are not good for you. Some things are wrong to do. In Proverbs 15 and verse 5, the wise man says that a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. You know, well, the smart thing to do, young folks, is to realize that your parents have lived a long time, had a lot of experiences, they've made a lot of mistakes, and they can help you stay out of trouble and misery in your life, and making all, you don't have to make all the mistakes. They've already made a bunch of them, or they've seen them made, and they know what they're saying to you when they say, don't do this, or do this. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon writes in verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. That's what parents want for their children. They don't want their children to have to experience a bunch of misery in this life just to learn all the lessons. But just listen to what the parents have to say. If you have good parents, if you have godly parents, those who are striving to follow God's word, it would really pay you to listen to what they have to say. Wise people are going to learn from the words and experiences of others without needing to have the negative experiences themselves. And the Bible is just filled with those kinds of lessons. In Proverbs 17 and verse 10, the wise man says that rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. So if a person is smart, if they're wise, all you have to do is tell them, you know, don't do that. That's going to hurt you. And they won't do it. If you're foolish, if you won't think and you have to experience things, you'll have to experience pain 100 times, 100 blows for a fool, and still he might not learn his lesson. We have, as I said, in our Bibles, just example after example after example of people who did not listen to God, who thought they knew better, they were going to go their own way, they were going to have their experiences, and it just wound up creating misery for them, separation from God, and ultimately hopelessness in their lives. I want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul is reminding the Corinthians about some things that happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament, especially during the Old Testament time of wandering in the wilderness. The Israelites had escaped Egyptian slavery, so they'd come out of the frying pan, so to speak. They had been rescued from a life of true misery by God's great power. He leads them with his mighty hand and the 10 plagues and all these miracles, leads them out of the land of Egypt and into the wilderness, and then they won't listen to him. They won't do what he says. They won't follow his will. And so because of that, one bad thing after another happens to them. He says, Paul does in describing it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, that with most of them God was not pleased, their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You might remember the golden calf incident when Moses had gone up to get the law from God on Mount Sinai. That's what he's talking about there. And he says in verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. You might remember the fiery serpents that God sent among them because, again, they were not doing his will and they were complaining about his provision. He says, all of these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So you have these examples in the Old Testament and many, many more, as I said, throughout scriptures, of people not doing what God said to do, going back into their sinful lives, thinking they know better than what God says, and winding up in misery, winding up not living successful lives. In Proverbs 24, the wise man tells us in verse 30 about an experience he had, something he learned from. He says, I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. His stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. What's he saying? He's saying, you just have to look around. If you see people that aren't willing to work, that they're just given over to laziness, you can't get them to do anything, they won't even work for their own benefit, they're not going to do well in this life. They're going to wind up, vast majority of the time, either in poverty or in prison. That's simple. All you have to do is look and see that. We can learn that lesson from other people's experiences. We don't have to experience that ourselves. God has provided us with a teacher named experience. We can refuse to learn from experience. We can learn the wrong thing from experience. Or we can learn our lessons the hard way through experience. Or we can learn our lessons the easy way by the experiences of others. Now, the great thing I want to tell you at the end of this lesson is that experience is the only teacher that God has given us. And it's not the best teacher that God has given us. God has provided his word for us that's a far superior teacher than experience is. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We can see how we're supposed to go just by listening to God's word. We can see the best way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the apostle Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God's word completely instructs us. It instructs us in righteousness, the right way to go in life, and the best way to go in life. Let's pay attention to God's word. Let's dig into it. Let's not wait for experience to tell us the way to go, but let's find the way to go in God's word so that we might walk the way that leads to life.